gospel lesson today is from Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Hear this word of God for you today. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store all my crops." Then he said, "Oh, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, so relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for your presence in this place. Speak to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the context of the parable, you just heard one little line, but it's very, very important. Jesus doesn't want anything to do with this situation where someone has asked from the crowd for help in getting part of their inheritance. Jesus not only declines to intervene, he warns against greed and thinking that life is about possessions, and that's when he tells the story of the rich farmer. But situations like these are really not that unusual, are they? Haven't we all seen some ugly situations after someone's death? Someone feels slighted because their inheritance wasn't what they expected. Someone feels like they're owed a certain amount for what they did for their loved one. When someone dies and leaves possessions, oftentimes there is disagreement over who gets what. So Jesus addresses that head on. He denies the request and instead offers this warning and a story. And it's all about greed. Now, most of us don't consider ourselves greedy, do we? We think that the greed monster doesn't really visit our hearts, but it does. Instead of greed, sometimes we cloak it in this other language, like, "I just want what's fair. I want to get what I've earned. I want to get what I deserve." That's not greed, is it? Well, Jesus would say, depends upon your heart. And Jesus knows our hearts. What is he worried so much about? Well, when you read this story, the request in the crowd, when you just read the story, it doesn't really seem all that strange that someone would ask Jesus to be a judge and arbitrator. I mean, wouldn't he be really, really, really fair? And it doesn't really seem so strange, this story of a rich farmer building bigger barns. I mean, shouldn't we be wise with our finances, so wise that we save? We save for now, for emergencies, for retirement, especially if we are blessed. And when you just look at it, the farmer is probably a hard worker, very smart. One year he had a great harvest, and Jesus does not say he's been dishonest in any way. He's smart. He's worked hard. He's had success. He's so smart that he wants to save up and secure the future, or so he thinks. But God calls this smart, successful businessman a fool. "You fool, this night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" This man is called a fool for thinking he can secure his own future. He says to himself, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" He never realizes in the story that our lives are not secure. At any moment, anyone's life can take a dramatic turn. And what's even more disturbing than his actions to Jesus is his heart. In the heart of this smart, successful, hardworking farmer blessed with abundance is an attitude of selfishness, which you can see in the story because he's only concerned with his own welfare, his own future. He doesn't mention anyone else. He definitely doesn't mention anyone less fortunate that he is helping. It's kind of like he hasn't heard Jesus talking about money or possessions or saying things like, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. In fact, in the 60 words that this man says, 15 times he says, I or my. This is all about him. You don't hear in this story anything about gratitude to God or plans for generosity. It kind of reminds us of what Jesus says a little later in Luke 12 when he says, do not store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what does Jesus mean when he says after this story we should be rich toward God? How are we rich toward God? Are we rich toward God? Where are our hearts right now when it comes to our stuff? How is God creating more generous hearts in us? Hearts that care about blessing other people more than being blessed ourselves. Because that's part of the story. That's part of real life. The kind of life that stores up treasures in heaven. A real life is about blessing others more than being blessed. It's about our attitude in the heart about what we have. Jesus said, take care, be on guard against greed. One's life does not consist in possessions. Isn't that so true? When we get to our last breath, will we really be worried about what kind of house we had or car we drove or how big the retirement savings really was? Do people at the end of life show regret for not having enough money or stuff? I can say with almost clear certainty, people do not regret these things at the end of their lives. If people have regret, it's for broken relationships. It's for working so much that they didn't spend time loving and serving and helping. When we remember someone after their death, we don't sit around and talk about how much stuff they had, what an awesome car they had, how much their retirement was. We talk about their heart. We talk about their love, their service, their compassion, because those are the things that make up real life. Blessing more than being blessed. It's probably why Jesus actually said it's better to give than to receive. So how are we doing this? How are we making the most of our days by blessing others and sharing and serving and offering our resources to others? This week I was reading the Christian Century, and Peter Marty, the editor, told this beautiful story of 25-year-old twin sisters, Bethany and Hannah. They lost their dad a year ago to kidney failure. But their dad was apparently the most generous person they had ever known. So to honor his spirit of generosity, these two twins decided to donate a kidney to complete strangers. Their action in Chicago set off a chain reaction of more and more people donating a kidney to complete strangers until there were just all these donors and recipients, all inspired by their dad's generosity, their generosity, which inspired the generosity of others, and they all wanted to bless someone in need. Marty writes, what inspires people to behave in these generous ways? I'm convinced that bone-deep generosity is a way of life that has nothing to do with your means and everything to do with your desire. I love that. Being generous, blessing others, sharing from our abundance, it doesn't depend on us having a big bank account. It doesn't depend upon us having extras. It all is about our heart. Hearts that want to bless. It's all about finding that joy and contentment when we realize that our generosity begets more generosity, and our joy in giving is contagious. A few years ago, I read a great book called Seven, An Experimental Mutiny Against Excess by Jen Hatmaker. And in this story, she picks out seven things of excess in our society. And she takes turns going each month without something, because we in America have so much. So much more than we need, and so much that can help others in need. She writes in her book, a child says me, but an adult says us. Maturity deciphers a need from a want, wisdom from foolishness. Growing up means curbing our appetites and shifting from me to we, so we understand that our private choices have public consequences. She says, what if we were consumers who quit screaming, I want, and started looking at what do we need? What if we wrote a new story? What if we can find that contentment and those treasures in heaven? Wow. What if? What if we all spent more time thinking about how to give and bless others than to get or save for ourselves? What if we could experience contentment and joy? A couple of weeks ago, I got this letter from my little girl in Uganda, Lillian. She's the third little girl that I have adopted through Compassion, which is an excellent program, by the way. Two of the young girls I've seen grow up and become nurses. And this is the third little girl that I've adopted. And each month or so, I get letters and I write to her. And for her birthday, I gave extra money, because they suggest doing that on birthdays and Christmas. So I gave her extra money for her birthday, and she is too little to write English. So her family wrote back and said, thank you so much. Lillian is so appreciative for the money you sent, totaling $87,800. She bought a young goat at $87,000, maize of $500, and sweets to share of $300. Sweets to share. A goat, maize. I received so many letters like this from the other two young women. The generosity that we share begets more generosity. The joy in giving that we share brings joy in giving to those who are blessed, and they bless others and others. You know, Jesus never says that the problem with the rich fool is that he's rich. In fact, Jesus doesn't condemn money itself. Jesus condemns the love of it. Jesus condemns the greed, which in Greek means a yearning for more and more. The problem isn't just that he's storing for the future. The problem is he thinks it sets him up for life, him, not others, not people in need. He built bigger barns for himself. Which begs the question, how much does one guy really need? This man is so concerned for himself, he's forgetting about God's grace that allowed him to have this abundance. His attitude is basically, I did it myself, I'll keep it myself. Now, I think we all struggle with that sometimes. I think just like talking with the kids, we all struggle with what is a need versus a want. I think we are faced every day with choices about what we buy and how much and what we save and for what purpose. And don't we all face choices and wonder about how and where we should be giving because we are blessed with so much? There's a reason that Jesus actually talks about money and possessions more than faith in the Gospels. He wants us to know that our God is a God of abundance and blessing so that we can be a blessing to others. Isn't that how we become rich toward God? How are we doing that in our everyday lives? What does that mean to you right now with what you have, with what's in your bank? What does it mean to us as a church about what we do with our resources? What we have right now. We can all see how wrong it is for this guy to be so selfish and not have gratitude to God, not care for those less fortunate. But lest we judge this guy too bad and miss the plank in our own eye, we should probably ask ourselves, where do we fall into the same exact trap as this guy? Where are we caring too much about me, myself, and I, and what I have, instead of what I can give, what I can share, how I can bless? Because the truth is, none of us is the sole source of what we have. It is by God's grace alone that we have anything. Raise your hand if you chose to be born in America, the color that you are, with the family that you have. No one. We have been given gifts, blessings. The question is, what will we do with it? We are Jesus followers who are called to a higher standard, a better way of life, a life that actually brings joy and contentment. And in America, talking about being dependent on one another can sound really strange because we're the pull yourself up by your bootstraps, self-made men and women. But Jesus would say, no way. As followers of Jesus, we're in this together. We're dependent and connected on one another, and we're totally dependent on God with a purpose to love and bless other people. In August 1967 in Chicago, Martin Luther King gave a sermon on this passage. It was called, Why Jesus Called a Man a Fool. He said, this man was a fool because he failed to realize his dependence on anyone else. He was so busy saying I and my that he lost his capacity to say we or our. He failed to realize that he can't do anything by himself. This man talked like he was doing it all himself and it was all his own. Maybe you haven't ever thought about it, but you can't leave home in the morning without being dependent on the rest of the world. And no matter where you are today, somebody helped you. Don't forget those who helped. Don't be a fool that failed to realize their dependence. As Christians, we're called to humility when it comes to our resources. We're called to be stewards because everything that we have is actually God's. And we're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who actually acknowledged his dependence upon God, who gave, who helped, who served, who lived to bless others and show that love and grace of God. So how are we going to do that? None of us know how long we have to do this on this earth. None of us know. So how are we going to make the most of every day? There's an old Quaker saying that goes, I expect to pass through this world but once. Therefore, any good work, kindness, or service I can render to any person or animal, let me do it now. Let me not neglect or delay to do it, for I will not pass this way again. We will not pass this way again. It's always the right time for us to give and share and bless. And do we realize that we often meet Jesus face to face in the lives of people in need, in the lives of people we bless? Jesus is talking to us when he says our lives do not consist of possessions, because life is not about what we have or what we get, it's what we give. So when we find ourselves wanting a little bit more, what if we think about how can we bless? Mark Hinckley Shore is a pastor who wrote about this passage in Luke 12, and he says, as for that grain in your barns, that work that you're good at, those accounts that you manage, they are worthless for soul securing, but our time, our talent, our possessions may be just what God needs to answer our neighbor's prayer for daily bread. What if we were rich toward God? It isn't easy because we want that false security that comes with our stuff. But ultimately, the question is, what kind of life do you want? Do we want the joy and the content that comes with blessing others? And what do you want your legacy to be? Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. The life of joy and contentment is ours when we live to bless more than being blessed. That's when we find the joy. And to all that, God's people said, amen. Friends, please stand and let us